Hello, business owners, entrepreneurs, and executives. Welcome to today's Business Radio, a new hybrid radio show that airs both on air as well as online and on demand. We discuss all the topics relating to your business. Today's Business Radio interviews experienced business advisors to help you build enterprise value, improve profitability, and plan for your eventual exit. Whether you're an entrepreneur just starting out, a seasoned business owner, or a top-level executive, today's Business Radio will help you achieve your personal and professional goals. Today's Business Radio is available around the clock, around the world, online, and on demand at todaysbusinessradio.com. Now, the host of today's Business Radio, Tom Lyons.
Hello, I'm Tom Lyons. I'm here with my co-host, Sam Zordich, and our producer, Georgie Jorgensen. And today we have two members of the Minnesota State College and University System, MinSCU, with us. Mary Rothschild, System Director of Strategic Partnerships, and Joe Mulford, Dean of Manufacturing and Customized Training. Thanks for being with us today.
Good morning.
Mary, we're going to start with you. Can you tell us a little bit about MinSCU and how big the system is and, and what its purpose is? What's your mission?
Sure. Well, the Minnesota State College and University System, or MinSCU, as you mentioned, Tom, is a very large system of education, public education for students who are interested in both two-year education and four-year education. The students who go to our two-year colleges are usually in technical or career programs. They can also start there for the first 2 years of their education and continue on to a state university. And we have the seven state universities in our system as well. Many of you know them by their names, Minnesota State University, Mankato, Moorhead, St. Cloud State University, Winona State, et cetera. So we've got a very broad range of education for all different kinds of students.
Many campuses and how many students?
We have seven state universities and 25 community and technical colleges, so for a total of 32 institutions altogether. And the whole system is managed by a central office, which is in downtown St. Paul. And we have 350,000 students in total that are educated through our system, but 33,000 graduates per year. So we're a very, very large system.
See, and I thought it was just that downtown office.
That's right. Yes.
Learning differently.
Yeah. The ivory tower, we call it.
Our topic, appropriately, is preparing Minnesota's workforce for today and 2020. And you really are set up to prepare the workers of the future, aren't you?
Well, we're certainly in a very difficult time, of course, for most workers in the state of Minnesota. And with the recession and the loss of jobs, the unemployment rate near, 9%. We've got a big job ahead of us. Many students head back to college at this point in their lives. They either have graduated from maybe a state university and are going back for a master's or, doctoral education, or they're just seeking new skills. And so, the workforce and thinking about how businesses use employees, what kind of education and training they need, really is we feel we have a very important place in the state's economy right now.
Do you see a lot of people retooling?
We do. It's surprising. We did a survey once of our nursing education programs, and you can become a nurse with just 2 years of education. It's called an associate degree preparation for registered nursing. And what we found is that nearly 30% of the students who are entering into that two-year degree program already had a bachelor's degree in another field. Okay. So yes, coming back and seeking different kinds of skills, often technical skills, in addition to, say, a liberal arts education, is very common. And, of course, we also pride ourselves on having very flexible programs for adult students. The number of courses that you can take in the evening, many programs are offered on the weekends, or online education. We really try and cater to adult students to a large degree as well.
Mary, it seems to me that business owners are looking for a different type of employees now, people that have different skills. And with the economy going the way it has in the last few years, there's a lot of jobs that have gone away that just aren't coming back.
Right.
So are you seeing there's a lot of retraining, a lot of middle-aged people coming back saying, I can't
What
find
do I
a
do
job.
Now?
Help
That's
me.
Right. Well, we do see that. And of course, the technical programs, the career-oriented programs, are very attractive to those kinds of students. But we do find that through a survey that we did in the past year of businesses, we actually asked our presidents of these 32 institutions to go out and meet with the businesses in their community. And each president met with a 10 or more businesses. So we had a total of 350 interviews with business owners across the state.
Nice.
And it's interesting what they had to say about the skills that they're looking for in people. And, you know, we do try and teach, you know, very technical skills, you know, computer-related skills or skills related to healthcare, you know, of course, for those very specific professions. But what we heard from business owners is that they're really looking for people who have good, you know, critical thinking skills. Their advantage, they feel often as a business owner, is to be able to solve customer problems. They're very customer oriented. And so what we're trying to do is really adjust our educational programming to make sure that the programs that students are in really get them to think about what they can contribute to the firm as an employee. That sounds a little esoteric, but we do think that many of our educational programs are successful in that way.
You know, I'm in mergers and acquisitions, and as a business broker, mm-hmm. the single largest problem that we hear from every single business owner is, how do I get good people, how do I keep them, and how do I train them so that they can be tomorrow's management, tomorrow's leaders?
Right.
And it seems to me that you have all the resources available to answer a lot of those questions.
We do, but we also, you know, we're an open enrollment system, so at our two-year colleges. So we get a lot of people who've been unsuccessful with traditional high school education. And so often...
Explain, if you would, the open enrollment.
Sure. You know, to become a student in a community or technical college, you really just need a high school education or a GED. And so many of the students that we have coming into the technical programs or our career programs or even the two-year liberal arts programs were not probably, didn't really enjoy the traditional high school experience. And so they come in a little bit concerned about how well they'll fit in, especially if they're an older student. They're worried about their academic skills. Many of them had, say, biology or, you know, algebra back in 9th or 10th grade, and that could have been 10 years ago. And what we really work hard to do is make students feel welcome in that kind of environment so that they can enroll. They might have to take a course where they have to brush up on those skills, but then they can enter into the traditional, you know, program track that they're looking for their careers. And so, Tom, when you mentioned, you know, trying to find good people, sometimes we have to start people really where they're at in their educational pathway, and then we move them forward as quickly as we can into a specific program that they're interested in.
Mary, I'm interested in this study that you were talking about, mm-hmm. with these 350 business owners. What did you learn? What did you find? What are they looking for?
Well, I mentioned, I think, at first this idea of being able to solve customer problems. Tom, the way we designed the study is we asked our presidents to talk to these business owners about competitive advantage. And I think for most business owners, that's a familiar term. It's really what gives you, you know, either better sales or a better product than your competitors. And it really helped, I think, create language for the presidents around what kinds of things in employees help create that competitive advantage. And so some of the things we learned is that we are interested in the soft skills that employees have. And what we did is we kind of renamed them business critical soft skills. So it's not just, you know, answering the phone saying, hello, you know, my name is. It is this critical thinking. It's having knowledge about technology, all the computer applications. Many businesses are very interested in how they can save money, cut their costs through greater efficiencies. And we have all sorts of words for efficiencies, you know, lean manufacturing. We call it lean healthcare. It's improving the back office processes for a business. And everyone in the business needs to be aware of how they can help cut costs especially in today's environment. Mm-hmm. So those are some of the things that we learned from this study.
So what are you doing with those conclusions? Are you reporting those back to the system and upgrading your programs?
Yeah, one of the ways that our colleges and universities try and improve their programs to meet business needs is through what are called business or program advisory committees. So these are business people who really dedicate themselves to working with a college to give them advice about what kind of equipment they might purchase. What does the curriculum look like? What are you teaching students in the classroom? Helping faculty learn the latest technologies that might be out there in the business environment. And so one of the things we're trying to do is make sure that every college program, especially those that are career-oriented, have good program advisory committees. And so we're asking businesses, actually, to spend time with us. Come into our colleges and universities and give your advice. You know, it's not always about asking for money. I mean, I think that's what a lot of businesses are worried about. You know, they're just looking for the donation to the foundation. It's really not. Their advice and their time is really critically important to us.
I would think it'd be terrific information for you as you review your programs.
It is.
One of the things that we've done with Today's Business Radio is we're building a library of podcasts where we interview advisors from every size, shape, and color, attorneys, advertising people, accountants.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that keeps coming up over and over again is new media. And the issue that comes up for business owners is, what is it? How do I use it? And how do I use it to improve my productivity? And what we've concluded is that the business owners are struggling to try to learn how to use the internet,
mm-hmm.
how to use the research resources available via the internet, and how to use the tools of the internet, such as email broadcasting, to improve their productivity. Is this something that you've worked on pretty hard?
You know, again, the technology skills are critical for almost any employee or any student coming out of an educational program to be able to contribute to their firm. So whether it's a young person who's familiar with social networking or a more adult student who might think about specific computer skills in, say, computer security and protecting the information that resides in a company database. You know, there's a very broad range of applications of technology. So it's not just, you know, the marketing or the public relations side. So many business processes are now done on computer applications. Mining.
Like all of them.
Yes. My data and analytics is a very big part
Huge.
Of most businesses today. And so how does every employee contribute to the knowledge base that the management has for creating competitive advantage? And so, yes, that is exactly right, Tom, the kind of things that
we're really looking at. Every area.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And we're all scrambling to learn how do we use it and how do we help it? How do we use that to make us more productive and how do we use it to help our employees be more productive?
Productive, exactly.
Well, and it's so new, too. It hasn't been proven out completely. Mm-hmm. So you don't know which ones are going to work, what kind of results you're going to have.
And I think there's a big investment by most firms in their technology infrastructure. I mean, we've seen that even in our own office. We're trying to provide more and more student services online. So, for example, I'm working on a project where we're trying to create a portal, you know, a single website for all of the different kinds of nursing programs in the metropolitan area. So students, instead of having to search through the 11 college websites in the metro area for information about nursing education, they can go to one place where they can learn about all the different options from, you know, just that very introductory nursing assistant program all the way up to the doctorate of nursing science that we offer. And they can find that in one place and apply with a single application, make sure it goes to all of the 11 colleges at one time, and then they can pick the right college for them. So,
nice.
Yes, even for our system, we struggle with this application of technology and how it can create greater customer interface. I think that's, Tom, I think that's what you were talking about, is how do you create that interaction with the customer?
And how to use all the knowledge and information available to make it an easier sale.
Yep.
If you take the time to learn about your customers and figure out how you can help them, the more knowledgeable you are, the easier it is to make a sale, no matter what it is you're selling.
And increase efficiencies.
That's
right. Absolutely.
And that interface with the human, I think, is also important, that we provide that web interface, but we also have great offices in actually in a place that most Minnesotans have never heard of, Pyrum, Minnesota, that provides...
It's a great town.
That's right.
Wonderful place.
Good fishing up there.
Okay.
But we have live operators there who can answer questions immediately for businesses. And so we've provided a 1-800 number for businesses, and they can call into that number, or they can find it on our web interface as well if they're looking for training for their business.
Mary, how does all this fit in with MinSKU's customized training and continuing education programs? Joe's sitting over here chomping at the bit.
He wants
Well,
we consider customized training and continuing education really our business and industry outreach operation of the whole system. And every college and university, so we have 32 customized training and continuing education offices around the state. So in your own community, you'll find a group of individuals, customized training representatives, who will come to the business and assess what kinds of training they might need to improve their competitive advantage and to either cut costs, create new skills in their employees if they get new equipment. And I'm sure Joe will have, you know, tons of good examples of how this operation works. It's a for-profit part of our system. So even though we're a public system of colleges and universities, most people don't know that we have an operation that really runs like a business.
Hey, Sam, you take hold of Mary now. We got to let Joe talk. Joe, you're the Dean of Manufacturing and Customized Training. What does customized training and continuing education, what do you offer business owners? What does that really mean?
Well, I think as Mary was talking about, one of the key components is really just going out and helping an organization, whether it's public or private, really work with their workforce solutions. And so if it's working with the local workforce centers, you know, upgrading skills, but primarily focusing on the businesses in Minnesota. And so that can be very large, you know, multi-billion-dollar corporations or one or two-person organizations that need to find one employee, or a company that needs to find 30 or 40 employees or upgrade their skills. So we've got, as Mary mentioned, around the state approximately 150 customized training coordinators that report to the local institutions in the community. And so if you're a business owner and you're not sure how to solve that workforce solution, you can literally call your local college and they can dispatch somebody or send somebody to your site to come out, talk to you about your needs, get on your shop floor, talk to your supervisors, assess it, anything from safety training to welding certifications to management, lean training, whatever it might be that you need.
How long does it take for that assessment?
It depends on the issue that they're dealing with. Sometimes that can be done, and I've had training programs as an example where we had a company that had a workplace injury, and they were facing a major fine from a state agency, I won't mention, but they needed some training literally by that Friday. So we had about 48 hours to turn the training around, and we were able to go out and get a trainer, got them on the phone, got them out there, provided the required training, and they were under the microscope and hopefully saved them some money and also improved their situation.
Normally, you've got more than 48 hours to do these things.
Hopefully, yeah. That's but we can generally respond fairly quickly, and a lot of that again is determined by the business.
Now, do your coordinators and you as dean, do you reach out to business owners to let them know that these services are available?
We do. We go through a traditional business networking functions, chambers of commerce, manufacturing associations. We had an event at our college actually last night. So we network with those folks, try to do it in their circles. We try to invite them on campus, get them involved with our advisory committees at the programs, and so we network them through those channels.
For small business owners, there's always cash flow issues, and it's one of the things that Sam works on a great deal in her business. But is this service affordable? Can a small business afford to call you and say, I'm having trouble training my employees, I need some retraining, I need some safety training? How costly does it get?
I think that's one of the greatest benefits or values that a small business owner, you know, we all know that our economy really is built off the backs of those small to medium-sized employers. And what you benefit from working with an organization like Minnesota State College and Universities is a lot of the R&D that we might do might be ultimately paid for by those multi-billion-dollar companies. And although there's some proprietary components that we can't share with other people, there's a lot of that capacity that's built through state or federal projects that we're working on with some of those companies, those flagship ones here in Minnesota around the country. Yeah, but we can share that information with, again, the 5 to 10 person employer. And so that could be...
So you can recycle that information, except for, like you said, whatever is private. private.
Yeah, there are some proprietary components, but it's public information, you know, once we get done with the project. And so it's essentially bought and paid for, maybe, again, with federal dollars or with, you know, as a company has started a new product line or a new technology, we can share that information somewhere down the line with folks.
Can you give us an example of a mid-sized company that came to you with a specific problem that you've helped them resolve?
Yeah, well, I had a company a couple years ago as an example. The economy was a little stronger at that time, but they had literally called and said, we've got a competitor of ours. They made a specialty project, and they primarily did welding at their facility, and it was related to some very high-end industrial manufacturing components, and related to the construction industry. They were working on the World Trade Center development that was going on at the former World Trade Center facility, and their largest competitor in Japan went out of business overnight.
Whoa.
And they called and said they had a business opportunity if they could get 30 more welders, but they had to be certified at a certain standard, and they were having a hard time finding people the way it was. And again, here was a business opportunity, ability to bring in new cash flow for them from and grab some market share. And we were able to go to the workforce center, recruited people that were dislocated at that time, brought them to our facility, got them certified to that level that was required of those folks, and you know, they were able to do the business deal. So
you helped them locate the people and train them?
Correct. And you know, and they're the ones that set the standards. It was, you know, the responsibility for us was to get them to that speed. That's what they're our customers, and so if they needed them at that, again, to pass their internal certification, and we were able to do that. And I think we did that whole project in less than 60 days.
Well, I hope
I'm
you've
seeing
done
a theme here. Good turnaround, yeah. Good customer satisfaction.
Yeah. I'm hoping you did a case study on that, and you're showing it to every business owner in the state.
We do share that story from time to time. So, but it goes back to return on investment. You know, again, we're very sensitive to the fact that without the business folks in Minnesota, you know, we essentially wouldn't be here. And so it's important that we give back to that and help them in whatever they need help with. So,
Joe, I've got to believe there's a lot of business owners out there, given that opportunity, they just hunker down and work their tail off and go out and deal with it and never even think that Minsky's out there and they might be able to help me with this project. Mm-hmm. You should be screaming this from the rooftops.
Well, we try to, but
can you give us another example of how you've helped businesses improve profitability and effectiveness with their employees?
A more recent example, and I think one of the phenomenons that we've seen in the economy right now has been that a lot of the more successful companies that have seen some growth in the last year, it's really been because there's been a downturn with their competitors. You know, they're out picking up pieces that maybe if they had a competitor that 10% of their business was related to their particular industry, 90% of it was in the automotive industry, they went out of business because they got pulled down with the automotive industry. Here's an opportunity for them to pick up that 10% market share. One of the examples that we had was we had a local manufacturer that had called and they were doing business in Europe, and they were in the food processing business, so they supplied materials for that industry. And they needed to have a clean environment in their production and in order to keep selling those components. So we were able to work with them, and we're still working on the project, but we were able to get in there and train their manufacturing folks to again, adjust to what was their customers' needs and keep them competitive, or that business would have simply just went somewhere else.
Mm. Mary, this triggered another question. He was talking about all the auto workers that have been laid off. And I hope you have the answer to this question, but are there federal programs or state programs available to help provide money for these workers that really need to be retrained?
Yeah, Joe mentioned the Workforce Center, and I think that many of your listeners may not be familiar with the Workforce Centers in the state of Minnesota, but they do all the unemployment benefits and insurance, but they also do a lot of career counseling, and then they refer people and pay for education that they might need in order to find a new job. And so our colleges and universities work very closely with each of those locally located workforce centers, and a lot of them actually are located on our college campuses. And so we have a real tight, you know, relationship with people who are looking for new jobs, but probably need some additional education.
Really a difficult time right now with our unemployment as high as it's been in my career. And there's a lot of people that, if you take a look at and talk to those people that are unemployed, they were trained for another job, and a lot of those jobs went away.
Right.
And they're in desperate straits looking for a position. And on the other side, the employers have all cut back, and they're waiting for something to happen, for sales to improve, for something to happen.
Yeah.
So you're really
clarity.
In a
yes.
perfect storm of yeah. what do we do to help
and
these
even
people?
The traditional industries where there's been strong employment, like healthcare. You know, we've seen the vacancy rate in nursing drop from a high about 8 years ago of 13%, a vacancy rate, down to about 3% today. So even those traditional industries where people have been able to find jobs, they're not there as much anymore.
Mary, if our business owners want to reach you with specific problems, how do they do that? And how would you summarize the support you could give them?
Well, I think our website would be a good place to start. We have a tab specifically titled Business and Industry. So it's www.mnscu.edu. And there's also a link there to the customized training and continuing education found actually by each college. So you would go to the map and you could click on the map and find a college near you and contact their business services office. And get direct service there.
And they'd route you to the proper resources.
They would.
And Joel, I got to ask this question. All those business owners out there with opportunities, they need some help. How do they find you and how quickly? Looks like you can respond very quickly, but how can you help them?
Well, I think the first piece of help would be just to give them a little bit of advice or encouragement right now. That one, I'm very optimistic as we go forward, especially for the manufacturing sector, because there's going to be some of literally world class machinists that are going to come out of this recession, because we've seen a lot of folks with a lot of great experience that are in upgrading their skills and some of the more advanced technologies that they didn't have 25 or 30 years ago when they got in the manufacturing sector. The piece of advice I would give your audience is don't wait until you need 10 of them to call us. Get a hold of us now. Get involved with the programs. Get to know the faculty, folks like myself, and I can be reached at 763-238-2135 and at Hennepin Technical College or through our website. But get a hold of us or any of the local colleges and talk to those folks, because when you do need employees, there's going to be a great pool of them.
Mary, any final thoughts for our listeners?
No, just that we enjoy working with businesses. I think it's a part of our education system in the state of Minnesota that a lot of people don't know about. And so we look forward to interfacing with a lot of business customers, you know, again, through the colleges and universities, or we have statewide groups that also convene regularly in manufacturing and healthcare and information technology. And there are opportunities for businesses to advise us and contribute to the future of their workforce. As Joe mentioned, there are a lot of good employees out there, and we want to make sure that Minnesota has that competitive advantage over other states.
Mary and Joe, I want to thank you for being with us today. This has been a fascinating discussion. I've learned an awful lot more about MNSCU, Minnesota State Colleges and Universities, than I've ever known, and I've lived here all my life. You're a fantastic resource for business owners, and we hope to get the word out and help you get the word out so that you can help them with their employees go forward. We're out of time for this segment. I'm Tom Lyons, and for my co-host Sam Zordich and our producer Georgie Jorgensen, I'd like to thank Mary Rothschild and Joe Mulford from MNSCU for being with us on this segment of todaysbusinessradio.com.
You've been listening to Today's Business Radio with host Tom Lyons. Tom is the owner of Phelan Partners Limited, an M&A advisory and consulting firm. Today's Business Radio is also available around the clock and around the world at todaysbusinessradio.com. That's todaysbusinessradio.com. All content provided by Today's Business Radio is provided for general information only and should not be treated as a substitute for professional advice from your legal, accounting, and business advisors. Today's Business Radio is not liable for the contents of this podcast, nor does it endorse any commercial product or service mentioned or advised in this podcast. All radio shows, podcasts, and other content provided by Today's Business Radio is copyrighted and may not be reproduced or downloaded for any reason without prior written consent by Today's Business Radio. If you have a topic you'd like covered at Today's Business Radio, log on to our website at todaysbusinessradio.com and submit your comments and questions. Thanks for listening to todaysbusinessradio.com.